Have you ever gotten one of these? Do you know what this is? No, it's a birthday invitation. It's a birthday invitation. You ever been invited to a party? Oh, yeah, okay. So, yeah, a lot of times we don't get these specifically anymore. We don't get the nice little invitation that says when things are going on every once in a while. Most of the time now when we get invited to parties, people are saying, hey, I'm having a party next weekend if you want to come, right? Or you might get an email, or your parents might get an email or something like that. It's a party invitation. When you get a party invitation, you are invited and you get to go to the party. Have you ever heard of somebody that didn't get a party invitation, but they heard about the party and they showed up anyway? Have you ever heard of somebody doing that? They're like, hey, I want to go to that, you know? You ever heard of that? Somebody doing that? That'd be kind of crazy, wouldn't it? Would it be kind of weird? It'd be awkward to show up to a party uninvited. Well, in our passage today, there's a man named Simon who invites Jesus to his house to have a party. And Simon is a pretty well off. He's a religious leader, and he's kind of stuck up, right? And he really is inviting Jesus over in order to show everybody, like, hey, look at me. I got Jesus to come over to my house, right? And Jesus comes over to his house. And while they're there, an uninvited guest shows up. Somebody shows up who was not invited. And this lady, who has a checkered background, all right, she isn't the greatest person, hasn't been the greatest person, but she heard about Jesus being there, and she knew who Jesus actually was and what he actually did. And when she shows up, she kind of crashes the party, and she is so overwhelmed with her love for Jesus and what he has done for her that she starts crying, and her tears fall on his feet, and his feet get all wet, and so she didn't have a towel or anything, so she gets down and she dries his feet, her tears off of his feet with her hair, which is kind of crazy, right? And then she takes some very expensive perfume and anoints his feet with that and pours it over his feet so his feet smell good. And we think that's crazy, all right? And I don't have time to go into all that today. But Simon is sitting there, right? Remember Simon who threw the party? And here's this uninvited guest at his party, and he's going, what in the world? Like, I know who this lady is, and she's not a very good person. And if Jesus is who he said he was, that he's this amazing prophet, then he'd know who she was, and he would not be letting her touch him. Right? He'd be like, no, you are not touching me, this terrible lady. Right? But Jesus doesn't do that, right? And Jesus, he looks at Simon, and he knows what Simon's thinking. And he says, I know who this person is. I know what she's done. I know everything that she's done. But her sins are forgiven. And because she was forgiven so much, her love is pouring out. When I came into this house, you didn't honor me. You invited me into your house so you could show off. But she has shown up to give me glory. She's shown up because of her love for me. And there's two people in this story that come to this party, one who threw the party and one who showed up uninvited. But which one of us, which one are we? Are we the one that we wear Jesus because we want to show off about how good we are and how holy we are? Like, look, I'm a good person. I'm good enough. Or are we the one that are pouring out our love because we know what Jesus has actually done for us? All right, and that's something to think about as I throw it over to Fred to finish up. So.
How's everyone? We have the Rostons back with us today. They've been in Florida. It's good to have them. I believe it's on. Can you hear me? Okay, good. All right. Rob is in the back there, you know, kind of pointing. I thought I turned it on, but maybe I need to pull it up or something. I want you to open your Bibles to Luke chapter 7. We're continuing our series of lessons on touching the untouchables. Today we're talking about the sinful woman. And so let's read about that. Ben did a great job in paraphrasing the story, but let's get a little bit deeper into the story. Luke chapter 7, beginning with verse 36 to the end of the chapter. Just follow with me, will you please? Now, one of the Pharisees invited Jesus to have dinner with him. So he went to the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. And when a woman who had lived a sinful life in that town learned that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house, she brought an alabaster jar of perfume. And as she stood behind him at his feet weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears. And then she wiped them with her hair, kissed them, and poured perfume on them. When the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, if this man were a prophet, he would know who is touching him and what kind of woman she is, that she is a sinner. And Jesus answered him, Simon, I have something to tell you. Tell me, teacher, he said. Two men owed money to a certain moneylender. One owed him 500 denarii, the other 50. Neither of them had the money to pay him back, so he canceled the debts of both. Now, which of them will love him more? And Simon replied, I suppose the one who had the bigger debt canceled. You have judged correctly, Jesus said. And when he turned toward the woman, he said to Simon, do you see this woman? I came into your house. You did not give me any water for my feet, but she wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You did not give me a kiss, but this woman from the time I entered has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not put oil on my head, but she has poured perfume on my feet. Therefore, I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, for she loved much. But he who has been forgiven loves little. Forgiven little loves little. And then Jesus said to her, your sins are forgiven. The other guests began to say among themselves, who is this who even forgives sin? And Jesus said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. He was a devout man, a religious leader, a pillar in the community. He was a great contributor. You could always count on him to give a tenth of all that he had. Everything that he had to God, he tithed it to him. He served on all the right programs and committees. He never missed a Sabbath service, feast day, a Sabbath service or feast day. He knew God's law backwards and forwards. And really, he was a fine, upstanding citizen. A man of values and virtue, character and conviction, who knew right from wrong, who spoke out against the evils of his day, who worked hard to rid the town of the crime and immorality. He was never seen in the wrong company. He was never on the seedy side of town. In fact, he tried to get rid of all crime. You know, he was never really in any wrong place at all. You would be honored to receive an invitation to one of his dinner parties. And all the right people would be there. The good people would be there. I mean, I think you would have liked him. His name was Simon, and he was a Pharisee. She was a woman of the town, as Luke politely refers to her. We know that she is a sinner. Luke says that she is a sinful woman. More than likely, you know, a streetwalker. She kept company on the seedy side of town. She was the kind of person that Simon the Pharisee despised. The kind of woman that worldly men used and discarded. In fact, you and I wouldn't want to be seen with her either. I mean, we don't know her name. We don't know why she ended up on the streets. I mean, during this time in her day, it was probably because she was abandoned by her husband or maybe rejected by her father. I mean, we don't know anything about her except that she was very eager to see Jesus. Although I presented a lesson from this text just a couple of years ago, just 2 years ago, when we did the Overcomer series and small group study, you cannot preach on how Jesus ministered to the untouchables without studying about this sinful woman who blazingly crashed a dinner party of a Pharisee just to see Jesus. In fact, what this lesson is really about, this lesson is about surrender and forgiveness. We surrender, God forgives. And we preach about it and sing about it, but the word surrender, did you realize that the word surrender is not even found in the New Testament? It's not even there. In fact, it's only found 6 times in the Old Testament in some translations, not all of them, and it's only used in the context of, you know, I surrender this money, I surrender this. It's never used in the context of surrendering their lives to God. However, even though the word is not found in the New Testament, the concept of surrendering to God is scattered all the way through the New Testament. Surrendering involves giving ourselves up. It is yielding all control and power that we may have to another person. I mean, concerning this woman, she is giving up her profession, giving up her livelihood for, you know, all for Jesus. She is yielding her heart, her body, and her life to the will of God. And whatever adverse consequences may come as a result of surrendering her life to Christ, this woman is willing to make whatever sacrifice that it takes just to live her life for Jesus. Surrendering to Christ is not a one-time experience. Sometimes we think, well, did you surrender your life to Christ? And we think about the day that they were converted to Christ, put on Christ in baptism, that was their surrender. It was a surrender, but surrendering to Christ is a lifelong process. I mean, Jesus said it like this. In Luke chapter 9, verse 23, Jesus said, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. Surrendering our lives to Jesus involves dying to self. It becomes a daily sacrifice of giving up any and everything that hinders us from being like Jesus Christ. And walking to Simon's, the Pharisee's house to see Jesus was just the beginning. It was just the beginning of this woman's life of surrender. So I want us to take a look at some characters in this story. Let's begin with the sinner. Okay? We're going to begin with the sinner. Now, can you imagine how much courage it took for this woman to crash the party of a Pharisee? I mean, dinner had been going on wonderfully. Simon and his friends were reclining at the table with a famous rabbi from Galilee that they were curious about. I mean, they weren't quite sure what to think of Jesus. Simon thought that he might be a prophet, and possibly even invited Jesus to his house so that he and his friends, you know, could put him to the test as the law of Moses had counseled them to do. But then right in the middle of this dinner party, this woman of the town walks in uninvited. And before anyone could say a word, she immediately sits down at the floor behind Jesus and with tears just flooding from her eyes, she wets his feet and then she wipes his feet with her long flowing hair. And then she kisses them. And then she opens a costly jar of perfume oil, her most prized possession, more than likely the tool of her trade. And she pours the perfume on Jesus' feet. But why is she there? Why is she there? I mean, there's only one reason, one thing that can make a streetwalker enter the home of a Pharisee uninvited, and that is desperation. She is there because of desperation. I mean, she was gripped with a deep sense of lostness, hopelessness, and urgency. And I believe that she is sick and tired of living in her life of sin and was willing to take the risk of being insulted and humiliated and tossed down on her ear just to see Jesus. I mean, she was so desperate that she didn't care who was there and what anybody would think or say about her. Why is she there? Well, she's there to surrender her heart and life to the Lord. I mean, I don't know how she knew about Jesus, how she even knew that he was there, but she wanted to see him. I don't know how she knew him in the first place. Maybe some of her associates or her friends who were you know, once had the same kind of profession she did were now followers of Jesus and told her all about the love and the forgiveness that he has to offer. But as soon as she sits down behind him, I mean, this woman's heart breaks. She is with Jesus and her heart breaks. And she begins to cry uncontrollably. In fact, the Greek word for wet that you see here, the Greek word is translated rain elsewhere. She can't hold back the tears. Apparently, she is so emotional that she can't even speak to tell Jesus, you know, why she's there. I mean, her tears and willingness to use her expensive perfume on Jesus were genuinely signs of repentance. And silently, she is begging Jesus to forgive her. And Jesus knows the heart. Words were not necessary. Why is she there? Well, she's looking for someone to love and accept her without expecting anything in return. I mean, men used her, but they didn't love her. I mean, they loved her for the night and then discarded her the next day. But on this night, with Jesus for the first time in her life, this woman is experiencing unconditional love and acceptance. And friends, when we finally surrender, when we surrender our lives to Christ, we come face to face with the ugliness of our sinful life. And like this woman, it breaks us. It just breaks us. This woman did exactly what James urged his Christian readers who were exchanging their love for God for friendship with the world to do. I want you to keep your Bibles marked here at Luke 7, okay? But if you want to read with me, I want you to turn over to the book of James. I want us to look at James chapter 4. And I want you to listen to what James, the half-brother of Jesus, has to say in these verses. James 4, beginning with verse 7. In verse 7, he says, "Submit yourselves to God." Say that with me. Submit yourselves to God. "Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Come near to God, and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Grieve, mourn, and wail. Change your laughter to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and He will lift you up." I mean, this is a description of surrender. The sinful woman is doing exactly what James said that she needs to do. She is humbling herself before Jesus, and the Lord has lifted her up. But then, let's look at the self-righteous. Turn your Bibles back to Luke 7. The self-righteous. I want you to imagine with me how this dinner party at Simon's house probably began. Simon is in the home, you know, in his home. He's you know, overseeing the preparation of the party. Cushions are placed on the floor around a low table where the guests would recline and comfort and enjoy a nice meal. Simon walks around, you know, the room looking to make sure that everything is just right. And as Simon's guests arrive, he greets each of them with a customary embrace and kiss. The servants stand by ready with fresh water and towels to wash the feet of each guest before anointing them with sweet-smelling ointments. And all of these were just, you know, customary expressions of hospitality during this time. This is how you treat your guests. But just as everyone is settled, Jesus enters the room. And Simon wondered if he would have the nerve to show up, you know, with, you know, knowing that people who oppose him were going to be there too. And everyone silently watches as Jesus walks across the room and takes his place at the table. Simon doesn't greet Jesus with a customary kiss. He doesn't offer to have his feet washed or have sweet-smelling oil poured on him. He offers Jesus none of the common courtesies that his other guests had received. And as soon as Jesus is settled at the table, this sinful woman enters the room. And Simon, man, he is shocked and embarrassed. His guests are appalled. They just can't believe that this woman dared to enter the home of a Pharisee. And everything is, you know, in the room comes to a complete halt. The music stops playing. The servants stop serving their guests. All conversation ceases. I mean, you can hear a pin drop in the room. And everyone's eyes are upon the woman as she walks across the room past Simon towards Jesus. And as she kneels down before Jesus and starts washing his feet with her tears and drying them with her hair and then rubbing expensive perfume on his feet, whispers begin. And Simon is so embarrassed and so incensed that he can't even articulate, you know, what he's thinking. And he says to himself, well, you know, if this man were really a prophet, he would know what kind of woman is touching him, that she is a sinner. And really, to be fair, I think we would act much like Simon. Do you agree with that? We would act much like Simon. Imagine somebody like this woman come to our next night of worship on February 26th. I mean, there would be embarrassment and whispers and outrage if such a thing happened at our night of worship that happened here at Simon's party. And the problem with Simon goes much deeper than just being uncomfortable or being embarrassed. I mean, he has a problem with self-righteousness. I mean, he thinks that he is better than this woman. You know, and as a religious leader who tried his best, along with his fellow Pharisees, to keep people in line with the law, I mean, you would think that at least he would try to save this lost woman. But thinking he is better, there is no way that he would allow this sinner to touch him. I wouldn't do that. His practice had been to keep his distance and have nothing to do with people like her. In fact, he's merely lining, you know, living up to what the word Pharisee means. Can someone tell me what the word Pharisee means? Anybody knows? The word means separatist. They separated themselves from others. So that's what the word means. And as is true with many self-righteous people who consider their judgment, their knowledge, their opinions, their behavior far superior than anyone else, Simon expected others, in this case Jesus, to judge and act as he does in rejecting this woman. And although Simon and his fellow Pharisees were meticulous when it came to keeping the letter to the law, you see, what was the problem with the Pharisees? They overlooked what was most important. In Matthew chapter 23, verse 23, Jesus, just days before he is crucified, says to the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, he says, "Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You give a tenth of your spices, mint, dill and cumin. I mean, you tie the most smallest of garden herbs, but yet you have neglected the more important matters of the law: justice, mercy, and faithfulness. Luke adds love. Luke adds love. But also Simon's self-righteousness is evident by the fact that he felt that he had no need for repentance and forgiveness, as is evidenced by the parable that Jesus tells. And so thirdly, we come to the Savior. We saw the sinner, the self-righteous, and now the Savior. Simon doesn't realize it, but the reason Jesus accepted his invitation to his dinner party is because he was one of the people that Jesus came to save. He doesn't know that. He thought he was in control of that party. But Jesus is there because he wants to save Simon as well as his friends. You know, not many Pharisees understood this because they did not think that they were lost. In fact, Nicodemus, you know, the one who came to Jesus by night in John chapter 3, is the only Pharisee recorded in the Gospels, who became a disciple of Jesus. No one else, no other Pharisee, except when you get to the church in the book of Acts and following. And after reacting the way he did toward Jesus for allowing this woman to touch him is when Jesus, through a parable, tried to help Simon to see himself. Let's look at the parable once again, verses 41 and 42. Jesus says to Simon, two men owed money to a certain moneylender. One owed him 500 denarii. A denarii is a day's wage. So this was enough for 500 days of work. One owed 500 denarii, the other owed other one only 50. Neither of them had the money to pay him back, so he canceled the debts of both. Now, which of them will love him more? Now, what Simon didn't understand that is that he and the woman were in the same boat, as the parable suggests. I mean, both were debtors and under the same sentence, whether one owed a little or a lot, whether one sinned a lot or sinned very little. And as the parable reveals, both were forgiven. Both were forgiven of their debts. The difference is the woman realized her debt of sin, but not Simon. It doesn't matter how many sins we have or how big or bad they are. Our sin makes us guilty of the whole law. One slip puts us in the very same camp as this sinful woman. And what matters is that through Jesus, we can be totally forgiven of our sinfulness. But we have to understand our debt. We've got to understand our debt before we can ever truly appreciate our forgiveness. Jesus turns to Simon and he asks this question in verse 44. Do you see this woman? He turns to Simon and says, do you see this woman? Now obviously Simon sees the woman. I mean, she crashed his party. And they, you know, he's appalled by her being there. But yet, Jesus wanted Simon to see more than a sinner who crashed his party. He wanted him to see a woman who was willing to risk everything that she had to come to his house uninvited. He wanted him to see her brokenness because of her sin and genuine repentance. He wanted him to see that she was a woman who was no longer what she once was, but has now surrendered her life over to God. And then Jesus, wanting Simon to see himself, says this. He says, he who has been forgiven little loves little. Jesus wants Simon to understand that he knows why he was invited to his house. He knows why he was there. He wasn't invited because Simon wanted a new friend. That was not the reason. He wasn't invited because Simon really, really admired the ministry of Jesus. In fact, Jesus wasn't even treated like a guest would customarily be treated in their culture. And what Simon failed to do for him out of common courtesy, this sinful woman did out of love. She loved Jesus. And Jesus says to the woman, "Your sins are forgiven. Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." And this woman may have entered this house bent over with shame and guilt and broken down by sin, but she was able to lift her head high as she left that home, and left that home with a heart full of joy because she was touched by the Savior. Amen? You may recall me telling you about Dr. Jack Cummings, a very dear, dear friend of mine, a preacher, who died from COVID back in February 2021. Do you remember me telling you about him? I sent out prayer requests when he was in the hospital. His wife, Sandra, had died a year earlier with cancer. And when I first met Jack, he was preaching for the Loop 11 Church of Christ in Wichita Falls, Texas. And I was preaching in Bowie, Texas, which is about 50 miles down the road. And we became dear friends. He has been a mentor of mine up till the day of his death. Wichita Falls, if you don't know anything about that town, is an Air Force town, the home of Shepherd Air Force Base. And like most military towns, it has its share of adult-themed stores and strip clubs in that town. And one Sunday morning, a nicely dressed young lady attended worship at the Loop 11 Church, and she was made welcome by the members and introduced to the preacher. And without making much small talk, she said very bluntly, "You may not want me here." And Jack inquired as to why she thought that. And without hesitation, she answered, "I'm a stripper at one of the local clubs downtown." And Jack just simply replied, "Well, everyone's welcome, Miss Church. Everyone's welcome." And the lady came back the following Sunday and the Sunday after that. And after the third visit, Jack approached her and asked if he could talk to her about her relationship with Christ and to study the Bible with her. And she hesitated at first, but then agreed. But the only place she would talk to with him would be at her place of work. And Jack tried to set up a time to visit with her in his office or any place else for that matter. But she insisted on him coming to the club. And Jack agreed on the condition that he and his wife and an elder and his wife could also be there. And the lady agreed and a time was set. And the day of the meeting, they walked into a dark, smoke-filled club and were directed to this lady's dressing room. And there she sat unashamedly in a very skimpy and revealing costume. And Jack began telling her, or just telling her how much they appreciate her coming to worship. And he said, "You know, you must be searching for something or else you wouldn't be there." And he then began to share with her the love that Christ had for people. And he talked about how Jesus reached out to people who were shunned by society and how Jesus was even accused of being a friend of sinners. And as Jack and the others are sharing the love of Christ with her, tears just begin welling up in this woman's eyes. And then she slowly reached behind her, grabbed a towel, and covered herself. A few weeks later, she quit her job and she gave her life to Jesus. You know, I'm thankful for people like Jack, who was not turned off by this lady's lifestyle, but gently shared with her the good news of Jesus Christ. And Jack only emulated, you know, the love that Jesus has for the lost. I mean, Jesus was and is the sinless friend of sinners. And we are to follow his example by reaching out to people with God's saving message, even to those who might make us uncomfortable. When we are able to do that, I truly believe we will see this church grow. Let's bring up the closing slide there, if you will, please. I love what this slide says. It says, "Help me know, Father, what I have yet to speak." I said that surrender is not a one-time thing. You give your life to Jesus, you know, you accept Him as your Lord and Savior, you're baptized into Him, and you say, "I surrendered my life to Christ." It's not a one-time thing. Surrender is something we do every morning when we wake up. Every day that we live, we decide, "I am surrendering anything and everything that will hinder my relationship with Jesus Christ today." Whatever that is, that we surrender it to Him. Is surrender an easy thing to do? Absolutely not. Because you see, surrender involves risk. It involves giving up surrender. We say, "God, help me let go. Help me loosen my grip on this and to live my life for You, Jesus. Help me to live my life." We're going to be singing this invitation song. During this invitation song is the time to really look within our lives, within our hearts, and to see if there is still something that is us from being like Jesus. There's still something there that we need to give up. "Lord, help me know what I have yet to surrender. Help me know, Lord, what I have yet to give up. And help me to live like Your Son Jesus every day." Will we ever reach a point where our surrendering to God? What Jesus Christ to continually wash away our sins, because we will never be perfect by our own doing. But when God looks at us, He is perfection. Not our perfection, but the perfection of Jesus, who came and touched our lives. You're here today. If we can help you in any way, if we can pray for you over anything that you're dealing with, we want to pray for you. Whatever it might be, we ask you to come as together we stand and we sing.